So we're here on this Thursday afternoon at 2 p.m. Eastern. Tony and Mad Max, as you all know, every Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern. We have a lot to talk about today, man. I mean, what was your first reaction when you saw that Le'Veon Bell was released? They didn't even try to trade him. They just released him.
Well, let's first give some context into what really happened. So this was what, like, Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday. This is Tuesday.
Because I was working, and I get a bunch of texts. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So let's get some context here. It came out, probably was like Monday.
He liked a tweet of saying that Le'Veon Bell should just be traded and he's underused.
Yeah, he liked the tweet from some fan, not even someone with like a blue check mark, I think, that said, like, you know, the Jets are just better off just trading the guy. And this is after their loss to the Arizona Cardinals on Sunday, the game where he actually came back from IR, his first game back. And in the day after this, the loss, he liked the tweet from a fan on Twitter saying that, you know, it's for the best. The Jets just traded him. The Jets are 0-5, going nowhere, horrible coach, really, really bad situation. They had to play their backup quarterback on Sunday. And, you know, I guess, you know, Le'Veon just finally, you know, snapped. The straw that was on the camel's back has broken.
Yeah.
It broke the camel's back, pretty much. And so on Monday and going into Tuesday, all we heard was the Jets were trying to trade him. And I was kind of on board with it because, like, it wasn't a good match to begin with to bring him in here. He was signed under a different general manager. And he wasn't a part of the future. And I didn't know what we would have gotten for him. But
if we could have gotten something. This is Le'Veon Bell. They didn't even try getting. You're going to tell me you couldn't get a seventh round draft pick? Come on.
Sixth round pick, the third round pick, I think would have been the best that they could have done. But so that comes out Tuesday, because I'm getting a bunch of texts while I'm working, that Joe Douglas, the general manager, put out a statement saying that, you know, we're pretty much I'm paraphrasing, that we appreciate all the hard work and dedication that Le'Veon has brought to the organization. But we have unfortunately decided to release him. And I'm like, release him? Release him from this? Release him now. When the trade deadline is, what, a couple weeks away? Something like that? A
few weeks away.
And I'm thinking to myself, like, didn't they have trade partners? Like, weren't there teams that were interested?
Yeah, there were teams. I mean, I was assuming there were going to be teams. It's Le'Veon Bell, but get this. There are three teams that he's willing to sign to, and you're going to love this. The Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I know this.
The Miami Dolphins and the Kansas City Chiefs. I hope he goes to the Chiefs, because you know if he's in the Bills or the Dolphins, he's going to stick it to them. He's going to stick it right to the Jets.
Well, I'll tell you this, and this is also a little bit of gas that fuels the fire of this absolute dumpster fire that is the Jets. The three teams that you just named are the three next teams the Jets play. They play the Dolphins this Sunday, then they play the Bills at home.
And then they take on the Chiefs in Arrowhead.
Then they take on the Chiefs at Arrowhead. What? Now, obviously, Le'Veon's not doing that on purpose.
Yeah, and you know he's going to be suited up for that game.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He's healthy. He's active. Why not? But, like, he's not doing that on purpose. It's just the coincidence of the Jets being an absolute disaster.
Yeah.
That now you have your best offensive player, who once was your best offensive player, about to sign with a team that you're going to be seeing within the next 3 weeks. I hope Quinnen Williams understands that now he is going to be, you know, tasked to to tackle this guy, no matter who he plays with, the Dolphins, the Bills, or the Chiefs. Like, I don't know.
The next player to go is going to be C.J. Mosley.
You can't do that.
You don't think so?
Why would they get – there's no reason for C.J. Mosley to leave. The guy signed a big, hefty contract. It was a five-year contract.
Yep.
He took the year off because of COVID concerns, which is understandable. C.J. Mosley has no beef with the organization. Apparently, Le'Veon did. You know, it was weird. All last year, Le'Veon was the team player. He came to the stadium every Sunday, ready to play, suited up, was a true professional, never complained, never went after – I don't remember him really – he never went after the coach.
The coach went after him, though.
Yeah, publicly. And yeah. He never – last year, not a word of disdain to Adam Gase. Then all of a sudden, five games in, he's just like, I'm done. Trade me off somewhere. Or is it like – or was it mostly the front office that wanted to trade him? That's a good question.
I mean, the statement was made by Douglas, but of course he's going to make that statement. He's the GM.
But do you think was it Le'Veon that was pushing for the trade? Like Jalen Ramsey?
I think Gase was really the enforcer on this move. He didn't want him here. He drove out his star running back in Miami. Jay Ajayi went to the Eagles, won a Super Bowl. This guy just has a problem with star players. And you know what? Until this guy is gone, we're not getting any free agents. Forget about it.
I'll tell you this. No, this guy has a problem with players in general. Has a player with coaching them, developing them, putting them in the right situations. And now you drove out your best defensive player and best offensive player in one calendar year. Like, I don't know. Does Trevor Lawrence even want to, like, actually come to this place?
Oh, you know he's like, I'm staying in for my senior year.
I'm staying in. But then the Jets could get the number one pick next year, too.
Yeah.
Because what do you think? It's going to be any better? Although if they do go 0-16 or 1-15, by the way the NFL is, you're given a much easier schedule after a season when you're just horrible.
Yeah.
It's for competitive balance reasons. So, you know, to like give you a little bit of slack. But that's not going to work.
It never works. They always say that you'll get the easier schedule. I never see it, especially because you're the Jets and they just tend to go lower and lower and lower every year. The bar just keeps lowering down for this team. They have the most cap space in the NFL right now. With the release of Le'Veon Bell, they're not bringing anyone here. Who are they bringing here with this guy, Adam Gase? They're not bringing anyone. No one wants to play for this guy. He's rushing all the star players out. There's no one coming here. So this money that we have, I'm not going to even be out there just shouting out on Twitter and to people I know and even on this show that, oh, the Jets have all this money. They're going to get all these people. They're not getting anyone with it. I don't care how much money they have. No one wants to play for Adam Gase. No one.
I just don't think that they should be getting anybody.
What's the point of adding
more money when your team is just going to get wrecked on the field? They're not going to be winning a game in the next 5 weeks. Who are they beating?
No one. Dolphins,
maybe. I mean, the Dolphins dropped 46 points against the 49ers.
Good old Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, I get it. The Niners defense is decimated by injuries. There's no Bosa, no Solomon Thomas, no Richard. Did Richard Sherman come back?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Their whole team's decimated, but they still beat Kyle Shanahan. Jets couldn't do that. The Dolphins system, I've been saying it forever. I've been saying it since Gase got here. The Dolphins are at a 10 times better position than the Jets are. I don't want to hear any more about, oh, well, you know, we'll we're not on New England's level or Buffalo's level, but at least we're better than the Dolphins.
Yeah, I know. They always say that. Well, at least we're third in the division.
Get out of here. The Jets have moved into fourth. The Jets moved into fourth the moment Gase was hired. The Dolphins hired Brian Flores, a former coach under Belichick that was in the Patriots system. In that structure, he came to Miami. Sure, I get it. A lot of Belichick people go to different teams, and it doesn't work out. Look at Mangini. Look at Patricia over in Detroit. You know, and Joe Judge right now with the Giants. I mean, I don't know where that's going. But Brian Flores came to Miami with a team of young players with not that much star power.
He's thriving. That's a coach.
He is a true leader of men. When that team beat the Jets last year, remember when they had no wins and the Jets went to Miami and the Jets got beat?
Yeah. And it also happened against the Bengals, the winless Bengals.
But that's when Brian Flores came to town. He took him in the locker room after that game and he said, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm sure he was like, it's like, I'm proud of you guys. You guys took it to them. And you got that first W. And from then on, I mean, the Dolphins were bad the rest of the year. But this year, they drafted Tua, the quarterback of the future. I hope. I love Tua. They have great offensive weapons. They have a future premier tight end in Mike Gesicki. You have Devontae Parker. You got these people. You got what's his name? Miles Gaskin in the backfield, the young kid. And you have a pretty nice defense. I believe they have, what's his name? The old cornerback from Dallas. Byron Jones?
I think so.
Byron Jones, yeah. They
also have a ton of ex-Patriot players on there on the defense, too.
That's true. They got people. They have, what's his name? Do they have Kyle Van Noy?
Yeah.
They've got all these guys. They've got young pieces, and they have the veteran quarterback in Fitzpatrick to build the chemistry.
I don't know how this guy is still in the league. Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, because he's durable. He's smart.
He does. I wouldn't say he's smart after he threw those three interceptions against the Bills in 2015, in which the Jets could have went to the playoffs. A team was so unprepared.
Yeah, you could, dude. I'm talking about just straight up intelligence. The man is a Harvard grad that played his cards right in the league. He knew his place in the league. He's a veteran backup quarterback. Dad. Gave it his all with every team that he's been in. Sure, he's had a lot of down years because he's not a starter, but he knows his role on the team. He knows his role on the team. He's there to build up the offense. He's there to develop the young players to get them ready to win. To make sure that Tua Tagovailoa is prepared to go under center and take that team to the next level, and they have the coach. That's it. They are miles ahead of the Jets.
Yep.
The Jets don't have the coach. They don't have the offensive weapons. They don't have the defense.
They don't have the quarterback.
We don't even know if they have the quarterback.
This team has nothing.
Nah, I guess we don't. I mean, maybe besides Jamison Crowder, but Jamison Crowder's gone after this year.
Yep.
Jamison Crowder's gone. Who are your big time players after Crowder? Marcus May,
Quinnen Williams.
Quinnen Williams. Just wait till they want to get paid.
Yeah.
You think Marcus May is going to put up with this?
No, he's leaving.
It's a constant cycle. It happened with Revis. They actually gave money to Mo Wilkerson. Then he decided that he didn't want to play anymore.
He just didn't want to play.
They got rid of Sheldon Richardson. It's all a constant cycle.
You can't forget the disgraceful Trumaine Johnson.
Well, Trumaine Johnson was signed as a free agent, yeah. but he was just horrible at what he did. I mean, there are certain systems in football that the Jets and also the Giants too can't keep them out of this. That those two teams just are incapable of replicating and sustaining. There's no evidence whatsoever that those two ownerships, the two GMs and the two coaches, are going to establish systems like what you see in Kansas City, in Baltimore. Hell, even in Miami, dude. Remember when I told you about the structure that the Chiefs have put themselves in?
I remember that.
Literally, they signed Andy Reid. I think it was like a 6-year contract. That's basically to the end of his career. Yeah. I don't think Andy Reid is coaching past 6 years. I think he'll just retire, and that'll be the end of that. So he's probably coaching the Chiefs for the rest of his professional career. They signed Patrick Mahomes, 24 years old, after the Super Bowl win, after the MVP, 10-year contract. You are our quarterback for your best years. By the time you leave the team, you'll be 34 years old. And whoever at that time wants to sign you, let them sign you. You're us. You are ours for 10 years. That means that there is no revolving door of coaches and quarterbacks and hell, even GMs. They'll probably, that GM probably has a job for life too. But these guys are here to stay. The system is there. They could get, eventually Tyreek Hill is going to go. He won't be there forever. You could sustain a loss of Tyreek Hill when you have the right people there, when you have the structure there.
It's the system that you have. System.
Just like Brady and Belichick.
That was a great system.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be Mahomes Reed for the foreseeable future. That is a system. I'm telling you, dude.
The Jets have never had a system. Never.
Never. And I don't think. And well, the Giants had Coughlin and Manning, Coughlin and Eli, which brought them two Super Bowls. But I'm talking about present day. They just don't have that. Jets or Giants. And you're right, the Jets have never had a system. The closest thing they did have to a system by a really short time was probably Rex Ryan and Mark Sanchez. Yeah. I wouldn't call Bill Parcells and Vinny freaking Testaverde a system. It was for what, like 1 year?
Yeah.
One to two years?
It was a short period. Short time period.
Short period? What about like Herman Edwards and Chad Pennington? I don't think so.
Mark Sanchez, I was watching a video on YouTube. He's considered the most disrespected quarterback in the NFL. He kind of is, if you think about it. This guy had to beat Peyton Manning, Tom Brady in the playoffs on the road.
Not only that, he had to beat Andy Dalton. He had to be Philip Rivers.
Yeah, Philip Rivers too. Yep.
All of his playoff wins are on the road. He never had one playoff game at home, not one. But that was for that 2 year span of winning. Everything else after that was just
the system went to hell. Garbage.
The system did go to hell. He wasn't nurtured. He had bad general managers, and you know, the whole dream period of Rex Ryan died out. And then they got rid of Rex and Mike Tannenbaum, and they brought in Idzik, and Idzik didn't want to be with Rex. Idzik was an idiot too. And then they got rid of Idzik. And they brought in Todd Bowles and Mike Maccagnan, and go all the way down the line in into the present day.
Douglas and Adam Gase.
And Adam Gase, and to where we are now, where your best offensive player is cut and you got nothing for him. See, what really just pisses me off is you had interest. Yep. I would have traded him for a six-round pick. At least you got something. At least you looked towards your future. At least you took an asset from the present day and say, this asset is going towards something that could be used for the future. And they just said, nah, you're done. You're gone. And I heard that by the end of the day he could have a new team. So we're gonna have to keep our eyes on that.
I have a bad feeling it's gonna be the Bills.
I think it's either the Bills or the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I mean the Dolphins now.
It doesn't make sense for him to go to the Dolphins. I mean, the Dolphins are an up and coming organization in the NFL. And they're run the right way, better than the Jets, as we mentioned before, they have that system. I can see Le'Veon Bell on the Chiefs or the Bills.
I just look at it like, does he want to win or does he want to have like a bigger role amongst the team? If he wants a bigger role amongst the team, go to the Dolphins.
But if you want to win, go to the Chiefs.
Or the Bills, but it's all about how far you want to go in the playoffs. The Chiefs are probably going to go back to the Super Bowl. Bills will probably win like one game in the playoffs. They'll win the wild card round, but then get bounced in the divisional.
Yeah, and their greatness was tested on Monday night as the Titans blew them out. And how about Derrick Henry and what he did to the Josh Norman?
Yeah, just. Well, Derrick Henry is a top. Is Derrick Henry is something that like Le'Veon once was, just explosive, dual threat, knows what he's doing. So, does he want a more prominent role on a team? Does he want to be a locker room leader? Does he want to be somebody like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who is there to nurture young players?
If I'm Le'Veon, I'm signing to the Bills or I'm signing with the Chiefs, man. I'm not going to the Dolphins. I'm really not.
But if he made the Dolphins one of his finalists, then there's some sort of appeal.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I mean, I just don't think that's a right fit for him. I think it's either the Bills or Chiefs in my mind.
But hell, he could sign with the Dolphins. And then we're seeing him on Sunday.
Oh, you know he's coming out in that aqua and orange uniform, and he's gonna be rushing the Jets. He's gonna be burning the whole line. Oh, you watch, he'll probably put up 2-3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. You know it, man. Oh man, what a bad state of affairs for this organization. Had to come to this. How'd you go from Rex Ryan, a guy that actually, like, brought respect to the Jet organization? And I get it. Rex Ryan was not the classiest of guys. During press conferences, on the freaking sidelines, like when he freaking chucked his headset down when they lost to, I think it was the Colts.
Oh, yeah, and he started going after the ref.
Yeah, and during the playoff game against the Patriots when Holmes caught the touchdown and Rex Ryan ran up the sideline and ran.
Yeah, but you know what? That shows dedication and he cares. I want a coach like that. Even I don't care. I want that kind of coach. I love Rex Ryan.
I get what you mean. He was a blowhard. He
really cared about that team.
He played by his own rules.
Yeah.
And you're right, he did care a lot for the team. He led the best Jet teams in this century. There was no better Jet team. No better. No Jet team has gone as far as Rex Ryan had. since Bill Parcells and Vinny Testaverde. And I'll tell you, like, and then before then, just mediocrity. Rex Ryan is one of the best coaches in Jet history.
I would bring him back. Bring him back.
No, he's not going back.
No, I wouldn't want to go back either. You can't turn that organization now. You can't turn it around now.
But think about that. For that short amount of time, he was one of the best coaches in franchise history. And I get it. He had bad years after. He was there for, what, 6 years?
Yeah.
And the last four were bad.
They never supplied him with any players, though. That was the thing.
Never any players. His quarterback was just stunted and embarrassed. They had the – that was the time of the freaking butt fumble and everything. And they changed GMs, like, in the middle of his tenure. And John Idzik was brought in. Idzik didn't want him there. And they got rid of Rex. And then they got rid of Idzik. And then you know the rest.
Yep.
Just
goals.
But that's how you get to where you are. Just dysfunction. There's no functional operation. Even the incident with Mike Maccagnan, the guy that signed Le'Veon Bell. He was just chased out of here. A guy that used your cap, spent all that money.
Signed big contracts. Players to big contract deals.
Big contracts. You know what? And did your draft, brought in your quarterback, and he's just gone. Just like that. You can't be doing that. Absolutely unreal.
But unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. So what else did you have in mind for today?
I mean, that's pretty much it. The main thing I wanted to discuss was just Le'Veon. And
I will say this, though. I was with a friend yesterday, and he's really big into, like, into like horror movies.
Yeah.
You know what he was like? He says that he wanted to, like, watch, like, one horror movie for each night leading up to Halloween. I'm like, oh my, that's really cool. He said that he watched The People Under the Stairs. Mm-hmm. I never saw that movie, but he said it was really good. Have you seen it?
Yeah, it was really good. Wes Craven made it.
Mm-hmm. The People Under the Stairs.
Yeah, that's a good movie. Have you tuned in to AMC Fear Fest this year?
A little bit. It's been pretty good.
It's all just what?
It's all just like Friday the 13th and stuff. What's on right now?
Pumpkinhead.
Is that even like a good movie?
I've never seen it before.
And Trick or Treat is on after. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, you've seen that?
Like parts of it. We watched The Evil Dead, the remake one from 2013. Any Evil Dead without like Bruce Campbell is just like, it's just garbage.
You gotta say it. Groovy.
Groovy. Such a good movie. Well, I think Evil Dead 2 was a much better movie because it was a comedy.
It was a parody.
But like,
how about Halloween Resurrection?
Holy, I refuse to watch that garbage. So he saw The People Under the Stairs. I forget the second one he watched. Oh, you know what? He saw Dawn of the Dead.
The original. Oh, yeah. The original or remake?
Remake from 2004.
Oh. I'm not a big fan of that one.
Yeah, why? It's because the zombies sprint.
Yeah, kind of.
They, like, sprint.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
Why are they running? Every zombie show, movie, like, they, like, walk and, like, limp. Even the freaking Walking Dead, hence the name of the show, The Walking Dead, they're the walkers. But Dawn of the Dead, they're like freaking Olympic runners, like freaking Usain Bolt running up the street. That movie was okay.
Like 28 Days Later is the same way.
Oh, they sprint?
Yeah.
But that wasn't like, were they like zombies? Or
yeah, they
were
zombies.
Yeah, it was like a virus.
Yeah.
28 Days Later that came from, what was it,
monkeys. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But was it zombies or was it like really like extreme aggression?
Hmm. I'd say it is classified as a zombie movie.
Mm-hmm.
It is. So I'm guessing they're zombies, but they look like humans.
Have you ever seen I Am Legend?
Yeah, I've seen that with Will Smith.
Those are like vampires. That was like a weird movie too.
I don't know. I never consider that a zombie movie.
Yeah. It's not really like
they're
a
nocturnal.
Horror movie either. Yeah. It's not even like a horror movie either.
Yeah, no.
It's like suspense.
Yeah. The best is that AMC Fear Fest was showing Men in Black 3.
Oh my. See, those are movies that I've never seen. I've never seen Men in Black.
Really? That's a good movie. Yeah. The first one I like. The rest of them, not really.
Mm.
They're not horror movies, though.
Mm-hmm. You ever seen Hocus Pocus?
Yeah,
I've seen it. But that's not horror. That's just like a families watch it.
Yeah, it's like a family Halloween movie.
Yeah.
That's a classic though.
Oh yeah, very much. So he saw The People Under the Stairs and Dawn of the Dead, and I was with him yesterday and he said that he was debating to watch Amityville 2 with The Possession. I'm like, this is crap. And choice between that and like Children of the Corn 2. So we watched the first 5 minutes of Children of the Corn 2. And have you seen it? You seen that franchise?
Yeah, I've only seen the first two, but three I've seen some of.
Yeah, like
I'm a big fan of the first one, not the rest.
Have you read the book? I've read the story.
No, but it's a short section in a Stephen King novel. I know It's a short
story. It's like 30 pages.
Yeah.
And I'm telling my friend, like, why do you have a 30-page short story just be turned into like how many movies is the franchise? Like five?
I think seven.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
Now, the short story is actually really good. It's actually really good. Really, really suspenseful, but like the story doesn't really pick up until like the last like five pages.
Yeah, no, nope.
You don't even see like Isaac until like the end
of
the story. But like, is Isaac throughout? Is Isaac like alive throughout the entire?
He's only in the first one, and then he comes back for I think it's Children of the Corn 666, Isaac's Return.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he dies at the end of the first one?
Yeah, and then he comes back in 6 somehow. I never seen 6.
Jeez. Then he turns. So then he switched to watch The Purge, the first Purge movie, which is okay. I mean, like those are not really horror. Those are just like good like suspense movies.
Something that can become a reality.
Yeah, eventually. But I'll tell you this. He's a really big like enthusiast on Amityville and stuff like that. Like he's read the book, he's seen all the movies, he's watched like documentaries. You know that he tells me that like that house is like empty.
I thought they knocked it down. They didn't knock it down. It's still up.
Still up, but he said that like whatever paranormal was in it, like demonic or not, is like gone. Like people, like I think he said that like a family lives there now, and it's just like there's just nothing. It's like a normal house.
That's crazy.
Now people call it, now there's a bunch of people that call it a hoax, the whole thing. People thought that like the Lutz family just like they ran out of the house for like, and they made a whole spectacle just for public attention and money. I don't believe it personally. I think that something really did drive them out of that house. But
was it 27 days, 28 days?
Yeah, like a month. Something definitely, because they literally ran out. Like they left
everything, and they didn't look back.
They didn't look. Now, an interesting documentary that my friend watched it was made by the son, I think the oldest son of the Lutz family. And he said that, like, his parents, George and Kathy Lutz, were big into, like, the occult and satanic books and stuff like that. They did a lot of, like, rituals and do a lot of chants and seances and stuff. So
that's weird. Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. So he theorizes that whatever bad that was in the house, when the family left, like, the demonic stuff, like, followed them and, like, attached themselves to, like, the Lutz, like, parents. Just the parents, I think. And even, like, and then I asked about, well, what about, like, the ghosts of, like, the DeFeo family? Because they're all killed in that house.
Yeah.
And he said they're nothing. Nothing's been, and nothing weird has happened since. So
I'm surprised they haven't knocked that house down. That's crazy.
Probably because it's, like, a landmark. I don't think the town would allow it. It probably gets a lot of tourists for that reason.
Yeah, people Which died makes, in that house. People were murdered. A family was murdered.
You know, like, that is that guy even still alive?
I think he's I get him Ronnie and Manson DeFeo? Mixed up. I know Manson died.
Yeah, Manson's dead. What about Ronnie DeFeo?
That's what I'm trying to think. I can't think if he died or not.
Because he did those murders back in 74.
Yep.
He said he pled to the court. Like, I think it was, he said that it was, like, demonic possession. They said it was drugs. We honestly will never, ever know.
Yeah, we won't know.
Like, but
how about the 2005 Amityville Horror?
What was that?
The 2005 Amityville Horror, the remake. That
was crap. Horrible. They had it so, like, George Lutz, like, got, like, possessed and tried to, like, kill his family. It never, ever happened. That never, ever happened. That was honestly just, like, Hollywood just trying to, like, dramatize the whole thing. Never happened.
Yeah.
But Amityville has a bunch of sequels, too.
Yeah, I think there's four, I think.
Yeah, something like that. And so does The Exorcist, which I don't get.
Yeah.
That's a whole... The Exorcist, the first one, still creeps me out. That is a very... That is an excellent, excellent movie when it comes to horror. Yep. It just is.
That's a good movie. I only like the first one out of that series.
There really is
no reason
to give any of these sequels the time of day. There's no reason, because they're not meant to be made. They're just not. But I'll tell you, Hollywood was just thinking, like, well, let's make a quick buck.
Yep.
But they're just not good movies.
You gotta tell your friend to watch Sleepaway Camp 3.
Did they even bring, like, it was a different actress, right?
Yeah, for the second and third one, it was Pamela Springsteen.
Pamela Springsteen. And who was the first? Who was the one from the first movie?
Her name's Felisa Rose. Or Felisa Rose.
Hmm. Good movie, though.
Yeah, the first one.
Mm-hmm. Really?
What other movies are you tuned into?
Anything Michael Myers.
Except for Resurrection.
Except for Resurrection.
How about H2O? The Rob Zombie remakes?
Ew. Oh, my God. You know what? The first one. I mean, the first one kind of, like, stayed to it. But, like, the ending, it's like, what do you mean? Like, Annie.
You said, ew.
Why is she, like, living? Why is she alive? Like, and then the second one. With the whole, like,
dreamlike, like, reality.
And his mother's, like, spirit. Like, get out. They already kind of ruined the whole story of Michael with what they did with Halloween 6. I kind of gone over that over the years. I figured, like, you know, I get it. They wanted to give him a reason for being who he was. Now, could they have gone away with it without doing that storyline? I don't know. Maybe it would have gotten boring after a while. They wanted to give Michael a purpose.
Yeah, the series really went downhill with five, because you, I mean, even though like five can be good at times, when they bring in that twin brother or whatever, the man in black.
Well, yeah, well, he was Dr. Loomis's like colleague,
yeah,
at the hospital.
Yeah.
And he was a part of the cult.
Yeah. That's where it starts.
That's
because they wanted to give him a purpose. Why are we sticking to Laurie Strode the whole series? You can't just have this guy who just breaks out of the mental hospital, Smith Grove, what's it, County Sanitarium.
Oh,
and he's just in
Smith Grove.
Yeah, Smith Grove, yeah. And he just breaks out of that mental asylum and just does what he does. Like, why do you have to, like, handcuff the franchise's destiny to Laurie Strode? You really don't need to.
Yeah.
They made it that way in part two.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're talking about the Halloween 2?
Yeah.
So you're saying that you weren't a fan of how Michael was like his sister?
I mean, it's no, kind of...
Michael was her brother? What am I...
It happens. I mean, yeah, I just wasn't a big fan of it. Halloween 2 is personally my favorite out of the series. But if you look at all the movies, does he really have to go after his relatives, like his niece? And then, do you really have to make this a relative thing? You know what I mean?
It was all about purpose.
Yeah.
Like, because that's what Hollywood does, man. They want plot. They want people to, like, understand. Because fans of movies, like, people go to the movies to escape thought. Like critical thought. Like, they don't want to, like, try to, like, think, like, oh, like, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? Blah, blah, blah. Like, some fans want to be spoon-fed stuff. I like Halloween, too. Did John Carpenter even make that movie?
He helped write the screenplay.
Yeah, that kind of pisses me off about John Carpenter. He was... After the first Halloween, he was just checked out. Like, he wanted nothing else to do with Michael ever again. Like, really?
I agree.
Like, I think John was great at what he did, especially for horror. But it's like, how can you just be so easy to just move on from one of your best characters like that? He was so checked. He didn't want to write Halloween 2. He wanted to move on through to his little anthology series, which is what he did for the third one. And
it was a good movie.
It was just a good movie. I wonder if he was approached for Halloween 4. He probably was.
I think he was. And he was like, nope, not doing it.
That's crap. Thank God for, what's his name?
Rick Rosenthal? Is that who it was?
No, Mustafa Akkad.
Oh.
Mustafa
Akkad.
Because he did a lot. Because he did all of them, I think.
Yeah.
After that.
Yep.
But, like, see, that's the difference with, like, Wes Craven. Like Wes Craven, like, stuck to it no matter what. Did Wes Craven make all the Nightmare on Elm Streets?
No, I think he was involved with three, if I'm not mistaken. Somehow with three. He did one, but then he did the new Nightmare.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the movie.
Yeah.
He's actually in the movie.
Yeah.
Now, with Scream, he did all of them.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah. And then 5, unfortunately, not.
Yeah, he won't be. But, like, God, I just bored freaking John Carpenter. Like, that story could have been enhanced with him.
It could have been.
It's like the Star Wars fans that wish that that wish George Lucas was back instead of Disney.
Disney wrecked that franchise.
I'll tell you this, dude. Now this is getting off topic from horror, but which is fine. We do variety. Star Wars fans for a long time couldn't stand George Lucas.
They didn't like the prequels.
It goes a little more deeper than the prequels. George Lucas, like, I recommend, if you go on YouTube, there's a documentary on there. It's free if you find it. It's called The People versus George Lucas. And essentially that documentary details, like, the timeline from after Return of the Jedi going all the way to, I believe, the Phantom Menace. I don't know. I don't know if it goes into like Attack of the Clones or Revenge of the Sith. I don't really remember. But it goes into just the different things that George did throughout that time that just made him like public enemy number one to Star Wars fans, like the hardcore fans.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, before the prequels, fans wanted the original cuts of New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi. The stuff that they saw in theaters. Like, they wanted the original cut. Now, back then, movies coming out in the original cut, stuff like that, it's a little bit different than today. For some reason, George just wasn't really big into giving people what they wanted. He felt that the original trilogy that people saw in theaters was kind of an unfinished project. He wanted to enhance it in his new way. He wanted to change it after the fact. So what he did was, I believe this has got to be like the early 90s. Or sometime near when Phantom Menace was going to come out, or a couple of years before, he released the three original movies, New Hope, Empire, and Return of the Jedi. But it was, I forget what it was called. I think it was the special edition, which was basically after George Lucas used like CGI and all different aspects. Like the stuff you see on TV, but with the CGI.
Yeah.
That is the special edition that George Lucas edited in after the fact and released it to people. And everybody was pissed. Everybody was like, what is this garbage? This is not what I saw when I was a kid. You know, you've practically ruined the movie, and that's where the whole controversy of Han Solo shot first at Greedo, like that's where that comes from, because George Lucas changed that scene in the special edition.
So who did shoot first?
What was that? What do you mean?
Who did shoot first? Was it Greedo?
In the original cut, Han Solo shot first. The one in 1977, Han Solo shot first. In the special edition, the new scene was Greedo shooting and Han Solo moving his head to the left and then firing. George Lucas is kind of a perfectionist, as most directors are, most filmmakers. Or you could say all filmmakers are perfectionists.
Yeah.
And George just didn't really, he wasn't satisfied.
Nope.
With what was released to theaters 30, 40 years ago. And people felt slighted and betrayed by George by what he did to those movies with the CGI, the changing of scenes here and there, all the highly advanced stuff. Like, they didn't like that. And then, of course, Phantom Menace came out, and
everyone hated it.
Everyone hated it. But then as time goes on, you start to appreciate those movies.
Because I appreciate the prequels. I grew up on those, too.
Well, because everybody now hates the new stuff. And that's all Disney.
And then watch, in 30 years, people will be loving those Disney movies that recently came out.
I agree. You know what? I think you nailed it right on the head.
I think so.
Man, oh man.
Buddy. Are you going to be tuning in to any horror movies tonight or this weekend?
Yeah, well, it'll depend on what's on. Like, I'm not going to watch Evil Dead again from 2013.
How about 13 Ghosts?
No, I'm not doing that. Oh, my goodness.
What'd you think of that movie?
I don't think I've seen it. Is it a comedy?
No, it's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie? Oh, man. But are we ready to wrap this up?
Yeah. You can start first.
All right. So my Instagram is at TANOOCH96. Once again, at TANOOCH96.
Yep. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at The Real Max, TheReelMax. Once again, TheReelMax, The Real Max. Check out all of our previous episodes on my YouTube channel, Sports and Hip Hop with DJ Mad Max, as well as my website, MaxRCoughlin, MaxRCoughlin.com. And you go to shows, you scroll down, see Conspiracies, Crimes, and Curses. We have changed our name to Tony and Mad Max, of course. So that's our new show name. You can check out all of our previous episodes there. And you will be seeing me post clips of our shows on Instagram very soon because the template is almost finished.
Awesome. I was just about to ask that, too.
Yeah, it's almost done. It's almost done.
Can't wait to see it when it's out.
Yep, it's going to be green, like I told you, because it's going to be green.
Like friggin' gangrene.
Gangrene, the Jets.
Like the Jets.
Oh man.
But thank you guys for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your week and into your weekend. Be smart. Be safe. Go out and vote. And we'll see you next time. So long. Yeah.